Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the second season of Titans. This aired on DC Universe. I think it's shifting to the HBO service.
That sounds right.
I've lost track of where some of these things are moving to and from. This one was interesting because it started by having to kind of finish off what it didn't finish last season with the whole Trigon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that first episode was originally intended to be the finale of the first.
I think it would have made more sense there.
I think so, too. And because there was, it felt like there was a definite break between the first episode and the second for this season. This season, they introduced a few more characters. Wonder Girl became a regular character.
Mm-hmm.
We got Jericho, Rose, Connor, Garth, mainly in flashbacks. We got Deathstroke. We saw quite a bit of Bruce Wayne.
Okay, I just have to comment that I think we saw more of hallucination Bruce Wayne than we saw of real life Bruce Wayne.
Absolutely, because particularly with the final episode kind of retconning one of the other things is maybe it wasn't really Bruce.
I'm just saying, and don't get me wrong, I loved hallucination Bruce Wayne. He's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there were a couple of times when there were some clear references to, like, the Batman 60s show and some stuff like that. And the actor they got for Bruce Wayne, I think, does a really good Bruce Wayne. I would like to see him in the suit at some point to see his Batman.
Yeah. I think he's a Scottish actor. I think I looked him up at one point. And because he does have that aristocratic accent.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that old money.
Yes.
Sophistication. And that's part of what carries his Bruce Wayne so well.
Well, he's a more almost emotional Bruce Wayne at times. Certainly a more caring and considerate one at times.
He's a very refined one. And he definitely has the emotions and the caring, but he also has the, I probably didn't know how to express it
or to convey it.
And he does that so well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the, I get I probably screwed up in how I went about it, but I went about it for the best reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we got probably the most exploration in live action between Batman and Nightwing or Dick Grayson than we've ever gotten really before, outside of maybe kind of sort of the 66 TV show.
Well, in that one.
Where they were like the only two characters.
In that one, they were just kind of friends. By that point, Bruce Wayne had presumably already raised Dick Grayson, because Dick Grayson was old enough to be more roommate than Ward, even though that's what he was referred to as.
He was essentially college age at that point. Yeah. So. And there was no angst between them, and there was no real dealing with the trauma either of them had, you know, that spawned their origins. Whereas here, there's a lot that was set up first season. Grayson no longer being Robin and such. And this one had very much the arc of him going from Robin to becoming Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that this season pulled from a lot of different storylines.
Mm.
The Judas contract, where, you know, we get introduced in the original comics to Jericho and we get Nightwing out of it, very much was one of the overarching plot lines of the season. One of the plot lines from early in the Titans run with Starfire and her homeworld and all of that, which I think was more of like a second year kind of a thing of the New Teen Titans, was getting set up here and almost set up ad nauseum, because it's something that we're not going to get till next season.
Yeah, every now and then she had an interruption. And I mean, it was even referred to as an interruption.
Yeah, it just, the setup with the Royal Guard who came after her and her little side adventures for so much of the season felt like distractions and taking away from the main plot and not building It was all set up for next year's main plot, presumably.
Well, and once or twice it undermined her character. She's there when the Royal Guard commits a crime, and...
And does nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say does nothing to prevent it to... I don't want to say negate it, but you know what I mean?
In fairness, most of the crime we see this season is committed either by a Titaned or a Titan-adjacent character.
It does feel that way. I mean, Deathstroke does some.
Parent of a Titan.
Parent of two.
Two.
Yeah, very dysfunctional family.
I felt a lot of what was going on with Connor was lifted really from the Young Justice cartoon.
Mm.
His origin of being the clone of Superman and Lex is from the comics, but the way he's pulled out of Cadmus and pulled back in and stuff was more, it felt like, I mean, it's from the comics, but the presentation of it felt more reminiscent of the cartoon.
I felt like that poor character was a, we're only going to use you in even-numbered episodes.
Yeah, there was a lot of, let's introduce him, let's not do anything for an episode, oh, let's go back and stuff. Well, to me, that was the flaw of this season. And it was a fun season, and I liked it overall. Could have done without the profanity. But it kept bouncing around from place to place, and there were two episodes that were not present-day episode at all.
Yeah.
When we get the flashback to what had happened with Jericho 5 years ago, and then the other one when we got in the flashback of what had happened to the original group of Titans, where we get Garth and all of that. And his powers, Aqualad, was the Aqualad from Young Justice's powers, not that version of the character we get.
And we're not even going to talk about the magic fire hydrant? It only spews water when you need it to?
Yeah, well, because this Aqualad has hydrokinesis, so he needs water, breaks open the fire hydrant, controls the water. When he's done with it, apparently the fire hydrant's all out of water, which would have really done the fire department no good.
Magic fire hydrant.
Yeah. I mean, I like the actor they had for Aqualad, but they really didn't do a ton with him.
Mm-mm. I still don't know who Jillian was.
That was Wonder Girl's either contact or mentor or something, somehow connected to Themyscira, Paradise Island, and the Amazons and such. Not only do I not know who she was, but after she got killed off and then the scene at the last episode, I don't know who any of those Amazons were. Presumably they were Amazons.
Yes, presumably.
They seem to be on a standard, you know, jet, private versus, you know, commercial, but still.
I really wanted the jet to turn invisible when we saw it go up into the clouds.
I was kind of expecting something of that sort.
But,
with the big tail number and all of that stuff, it doesn't scream stealth.
You know, you can be trying to camouflage as just another jet right up until you poof invisibility.
You make it seem, you know, like it fits on the airfield. That's fair. Yeah, the whole bit with Jillian and stuff and why Donna had to be going back to Themyscira, 5 years ago or whatever, was there but never really explained, and why she ended up not going back sort of made sense, but in the intervening 5 years why she didn't go back, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, the Amish have a thing where when you're 18, I think it is, you can go out into the Englisher's world for X amount of time, and then you either come back and you're still Amish as if you never went out, or you stay out in the Englisher world. And I wondered if they were trying to do something along those lines.
That doesn't make sense, given in first season we'd seen flashbacks to her and Dick Grayson when they were kids, implying she'd been staying in Man's world for many a year.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were going for.
Well, and also her relationship with Garth seems to stem, another 5 or 6 years prior.
Well, it seemed to go back to when they were young kids, but it seemed to be on Themyscira. She was talking about how he would take her swimming by the island, and she wanted to find Nemo.
Yeah, it was hard to... she knew what Nemo was, so again, having seen the movies, the backstory is really ambiguous.
Yeah.
Because we don't even know, is Donna an Amazon? Is she not? exactly the relationship with Wonder Woman, who we never really hear about this season. It's funny, because we get a lot of Bruce. We get mention of Superman. I don't even think the name Clark Kent got bandied about, which makes sense.
The Kent Farm got mentioned.
True, you're right, you're right. The Kent Farm got mentioned because Connor apparently has genetic memory for both Clark and Lex.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of weird.
Yeah. So we went and visited with Lex's father.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a different version of Lex's father. I don't remember if they named him Lionel or not. I think they did.
They did.
But that was the actor who is on The Good Witch, playing the grandfather there.
Yeah, George.
And is a very different kind of a father for Lex than we got in, like, Smallville.
Mm.
And Smallville really, I think, was one of the defining versions of Lex's father. Because he'd never really been that major of a character, as far as I can recall, in the comics. Well,
it just seems to me that Lex has always been portrayed as coming from money. Now, whether it was big city money or rural money for the area.
There have been a couple of different takes. There's the family has always been rich. But originally, it was just, he was, they were, again, in Smallville and stuff, because that's how Clark and Lex knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex was smart enough to basically not only get out of Smallville, but become, you know, a millionaire in the process. So that seemed to follow, you know, this pattern, or this followed that pattern, I should say.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't know if he'd always been kind of the Smallville rich, if you know what I mean.
I took it as he was just another Smallville farmer, and Lex happened to be brilliant and, you know, not old money versus the Luthor mansion and such in Smallville.
Yeah.
But I think historically, Lex's parents and their background has been, I mean, I'm sure they've established it multiple times and used it in the comics and such, but I would say you'd have to go back to at least the early 80s, probably into the 70s. Because in the 80s, to get any kind of definitive thing, because that was one when there was a Superman as a boy Superboy series versus a Superboy as a clone Superboy series, or Superman as the son of Superman. Although I don't think John Kent's had his own solo book yet. Anyways, multiple Superboy to choose from. Wanted to clarify. In the 80s, I think it was Marv Wolfman who, that was when they redid Luthor and Brainiac. Brainiac went from being a green alien to this robotic thing, and Lex went from being, at that point, either always in the prison jumpsuit or in his green and purple exo-armor kind of a thing, to being a businessman. And then when Byrne did Man of Steel, that's how Lex has always been. So at that point, you could argue old money or not.
Yeah.
But prior to that, you know, again, growing up on a farm in Smallville, you know, having enough money that he could have his own little science lab shed or whatever. But Lex was a major factor in this season, even though he was never seen.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy Graves was a regular character.
I found it hilarious that they gave us a scene where they tried to humanize her. She has a family. She has children. She wants board game night.
What was the point of that scene?
To juxtapose. She's just another mom. She happens to have a deadly job. I mean, it was
supposed to... She's got a family that was very happy when she said game night was canceled.
It was supposed to be comedic. It fell flat for me.
Yeah.
But I was like, really? This is her home life. Her entire family would rather watch their devices than spend time with her. Which is a comment on American society more than her, but...
Yeah.
And the kids didn't want to play a game because it had the word fish in it, and they were vegan. I mean, it was morbid funny, as opposed to humorous.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't humorous. Now, if they'd been pescatarians or something. A pescatarian just seems like it ought to be a religion versus a food preference, but that's whatever.
My problem with pescatarian, and it's purely personal, is that pesk always strikes me as sounding like pest.
Yeah. I won't eat insects. I don't blame you. That's not what it means.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't think that humanization approach to Mercy Graves was needed, worked, or made sense. I felt the experimentation they did on Gar and Connor to kind of turn them evil temporarily, happened very quickly, totally off screen for Connor.
Yes.
And Gar really physically recovered from that invasive surgery instantly. There was aspects of what we'd seen with Gar now seeing other than what was really there that wasn't explained. When he thought he was talking to Rachel and it was
the
lab tech.
Yes. They messed with his mind and we never got that explained. But yeah, he definitely seemed to have some kind of PTSD when he was reading the Frida Kahlo book.
Well, that made sense, but the brainwashing and mind manipulation they did, they seemed to do in really short order.
Yeah.
Because I never got the sense between any episodes that, like, many weeks had elapsed.
We have no idea how long Dick Grayson was in jail.
I got the impression, like, a week tops.
Yeah. I mean, his period in jail was entertaining. Bruce Wayne never mentioned it. I mean, he was there in terms of a hallucination for quite a while, but he never actually mentioned, and it would have been entertaining if there had been a, you know, I don't actually buy you out of these situations. I've had to hire a lot of lawyers to deal with your temper tantrum.
Well, that or a comment of, there are plenty of nice resorts you could have stayed at.
Yes, yes.
You know, if you wanted to get away from it all, there's easier ways to do it.
Yeah.
But going to the whole Batman connection thing, when Dick Grayson gets the new suit for Nightwing, and he goes to Stu's handmade shoes or something.
Yeah.
That was a cute scene, but why is there this high-tech, super-secret costume manufacturing thing under this, you know, small, impressive store? How often do people need costumes in this world? And clearly this seems to be geared very much for Batman's crowd.
Well, if the costumes are meant to be indestructible, though he was quite peeved that one had been purposely set on fire.
Again, that's where we started the series.
Yes, but if they're meant to be indestructible, then you shouldn't have to come back to him annually for a new one.
Yeah.
So
I could see refittings or something like that, but you've got Batman, you've got Robin, you've got now Nightwing and stuff. And it was funny because Stu almost felt like a stand-in for Alfred.
Yes, I was thinking that too, actually.
And the fact that we haven't seen Alfred.
Yeah. Well, Alfred was your first guess when we saw Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Which was funny because I assumed it would be Bruce Wayne. And I don't know what it was about the way we arrived, but it was kind of a, is Dick gonna finally face Bruce Wayne?
Well, and I liked how they had that. And again, that's reminiscent of some of the stuff from the comics, where the two have had to kind of come to terms, because as Dick Grayson had kind of come of age and outgrew being the and Robin part of Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, and there is a very real world connection that I think they hit on, where a lot of kids who go through the fostered adopted situation, you want that to be a lifelong thing, but for some of them who are adopted when they're 14, 15, you know, it's, but am I really part of the family, or was that just a 4-year thing?
Yeah, yeah. How permanent is it really? Well, and the whole thing is how quickly another Robin gets into play.
Yeah.
And I think there's some more backstory to be had there as to how did Jason become Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason was in much of the season. Again, there's a couple of episodes where, you know, we're going to go back in time, so none of the current characters can be there. Or we're going to go see somebody else's plot, so some of the characters won't be there.
Well, Jason felt messed with and betrayed several times during the season by several people.
He's totally messed up to begin with in the comics. The bit with him and Rose was in place of Garfield and Tara. In the Judas contract, the person who infiltrates the team is somebody with geo powers.
Mm.
She can move earth and rock, which is, again, a little bit higher budget than this show probably would have gone for. And given they'd already built up a relationship between Raven and Gar, not boyfriend-girlfriend, but friendship type thing, going with Rose and Jason made sense and is kind of reminiscent of the most recent Teen Titans series between Damian Wayne and Red Arrow, which is, I think, Amico in the comics. They've had enough Robins and enough arrows of different colors. It does get hard to keep track at times. So I can see where they drew a lot of inspiration for what they were doing on some of these things. Likewise, the whole bit between Garth, Aqualad, and Donna feels reminiscent of some of what they had done between the Atlanteans and the Amazons during the Flashpoint event, you know, a decade ago. I'm trying to think of when the first Teen Titans Earth 1 hardcover came out, because the bit between Jericho and Deathstroke here, where Jericho hops into his father's body because he's dying, was very much straight out of that comic. Now, the difference was, in the comic, classically the way Joey, or Jericho is his code name, here it's his name, Joseph Wilson was his character name in the comics. The way in the comics the powers classically worked is he would make eye contact, his body would just kind of, you know, disappear as he entered the person. So he entered the person.
Yeah.
Here in the show, he projects his consciousness into somebody and his body is just kind of standing around, which is almost more of a negative man kind of a thing than Jericho. But in the hardcover for the Earth One stuff, still needs eye contact, but entered his father's body from behind.
Nicely done.
Yeah, that one bothered me.
Yeah.
It was like, dude, the artist just should have done better. Here, at least, they were face-to-face and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they even removed the helmet.
Yeah. They've had times where, like, Jericho at one point tried to enter Cyborg's body, and Cyborg knew that was coming, so he closed his natural eye and had the cybernetic one, which didn't work.
Mm.
Now, years later, a writer apparently either didn't know that, didn't care about it, or they could argue it's a rebooted universe, was able to get in that way. So, different universe, different powers and stuff.
Well, they ended Jericho in an interesting place.
A little creepy, but interesting, yeah, with him in Rose.
Yeah.
I don't know how that plays out. He could still just hop bodies and whatnot. I don't know where they're planning on going with that. In the comics, Jericho was Caucasian, blonde hair. They went Asian here, not a big deal. Wintergreen, Caucasian here, they went elsewhere. And there are times where it's like, if you're gonna do that, it seems like it's a dual standard.
Mm.
Going from Caucasian to another ethnicity, oh, that's great, that's groundbreaking. Going the other way is taboo, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Overall, I've been pleased with the actors they've chosen for the most part. The one exception is the one for Starfire.
And Corey.
It's not the actress per se. I don't like this version of Corey. It's very much not from the comics.
Interesting. I was going to say, I was liking her up until maybe three quarters of the way through the season. Well, I liked her better before we start running off on tangents.
Yeah, her storyline this season sucked.
Yeah.
But in the comics originally, she was a very, I don't want to say innocent or naive, but very emotional, very open, very much a counterpoint to the more stoic, reserved Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
of course, the two got paired off.
That's not this character.
Not at all.
No.
And in the cartoon, when they did the Teen Titans stuff, which is a very anime-style one, she was an almost bubbly, totally naive, you know, character. And in the comics, she's got that emotional bent, that naive aspect, but is a fierce warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And here, she's almost a spoiled princess.
Well, here she's half that and half just obvious leader. Why isn't she leading at times? There are times when she's just sitting there looking around going, yeah, but I already said the answer. Why didn't you follow it? Why is there even discussion going on?
Which is funny, because at one point, Starfire did lead a group of Titans in San Francisco. And that was around the time they had Connor and some of the ones that were in Young Justice, both before and after. So I can see a little of that aspect. I don't think they've had a good grasp on that character. And it worries me that the next season seems like it's going to lean heavily on that character.
Yeah.
There have been one or two other Titans that I feel are major vacancies in this series. Kid Flash was a founding member.
Interesting.
You know, and we've had Impulse and one or two other speedsters on the teams at times. Having both Robin and Nightwing kind of this season, Robin and Dick Grayson, because he wasn't Robin or Dick Grayson for most of it, but you know what, we had Jason and we had two of them, felt redundant. And Jason was rarely a Teen Titan. Matter of fact, he teamed up with the Teen Titans, but I would be hard pressed to name any point when he was really an official member of the team. Tim Drake, absolutely. And obviously Dick Grayson was a founding member and longtime leader of the team. But getting that dynamic and allowing that kind of interplay with the Bruce Wayne kind of family aspect was kind of interesting. So I liked what they were doing overall, but there was no solid through line for the season. It was bouncing around a lot from plot line to plot line, and it felt like they just had to pause some stuff for an episode or two so they could get to the other stuff. I think if they had told a more focused narrative, they could have told all the same stories but in different order, maybe. It just felt like some of the stuff we were getting with Hawk and Dove, it's like, yeah, I get they need to do something, but having that play out over the course of the season was a good character arc, but it was bad plotting for some stuff because it's, you know, episodes between getting parts of it. It's like they were trying to tell half a dozen or more solo hero threads in the guise of an ensemble show.
Yeah, that's a great way to phrase it.
It'd be like if you're following a law show that's got a law firm, and one episode is one lawyer's lead story, you know, every six episodes or something, and they just rotate through unevenly or keep bouncing between it to where you can't really keep track of everything.
Yeah.
So it felt like they didn't really give... The whole reason Connor was there was so he could be the threat at the end. Rose was there for the Judith contract, you know, betrayal plot line. It's also why Jericho was there. I didn't feel there was a particular reason or payoff for Jason Robin being around the whole time. I liked getting Wonder Girl throughout the season. I thought she was a good character and well used. It feels like next season is either going to be Blackfire on Earth or there needs to be a space aspect.
But we blew up the ships.
Well, I couldn't figure out how Blackfire was getting into people on Earth.
I don't know.
There's some little black sludge thing, which was a horrible choice because it looks too much like Raven's power. Yes. And Raven's power doesn't look like how it does in the comic, but whatever. So it implies it'll be Earthbound, but it seems hard to resolve that storyline without going to Corey's homeworld. So I'm hoping they expand the canvas a little bit and we get some more of the various mentors and such beyond just Bruce. But I don't know how long they're expecting this series to go for and kind of what their game plan is.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying what they're doing. I wish they'd ditch the profanity, make it a little more accessible to a wider age group, and that they would focus the storyline a bit and answer a couple of questions versus just tease some stuff.
Well, they throw a lot of things out and then drop them. Raven gets in with a group of runaways and then ditches them.
Yeah, that got dropped multiple episodes back, and you're right, I hadn't even thought about that getting just dismissed.
I mean, it's just, okay, yeah, that happened, but well, yeah, that was no big deal.
The girl that Hawk and Dove run into...
Outside the karaoke bar.
Outside the karaoke bar.
Yep, that was another Ellis's sister. That was another... Yep, that happened, but don't worry. We just dropped that.
Yeah, there's enough of those things that it makes it feel like the story is kind of unraveling at the edges.
Yeah.
And it's not like everything's got to tie in, but if you do some of those scenes and you set something up, there needs to be payoff.
Mm-hmm.
I question how cohesive the writer's room is.
Mm.
And I'd love to see the writer's guide.
Well, in the case of Ellis's sister outside the karaoke bar, do the writers think that's what broke up Hank and Dawn? If they do, they didn't convey that to me very well.
No, because until you even asked the question, I hadn't even considered that being a reason. I mean, I can see it now, but it didn't play that way for me while watching it at all.
Which is why I asked the question, do they think?
Yeah.
You know, and they're just, I found myself at the end of a lot of episodes with questions like that.
Well, that's one of those things where the creators sometimes know the story well enough they actually forget to tell part of it.
Yeah.
And that may be very well what's going on here. It may make perfect sense to them as to what's going on with Blackfyre and stuff, but they haven't actually bothered to tell us. And that's unfortunate. I mean, this is the first live-action Titans show we've ever gotten. And once this is done, it'll be a little while before we get another one, probably.
Yeah.
But I love the characters. I think there's a better version to be had, but I think this is well done.
Mm-hmm.
They're not skimping on production values and such. I do think the writing could be a little tighter, and that they, again, some of the stuff you're mentioning of this dropped, that dropped, that's legit.
I just want, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but I want more. I want tighter. I have higher hopes for next season.
I want more. I'm not saying I have higher hopes for next season. I get where you're coming from.
I always hope the show will look at their previous season and learn from it.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at how many characters they had in play in this one, though, and it was a few too many, and I think that's part of what some of the problems were, and I don't know that they're going to pull back on that and tighten it up.
Mm.
So I think there are lessons to be learned if they were to go back through the first two seasons and what worked, what didn't work, but I fear that what they think worked and didn't work and what we think worked and didn't work aren't in alignment.
That's true. Well, they got rid of one of the Cadmus characters.
Mm-hmm.
Connor took care of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder Girl is maybe yes, maybe no for next season.
I figure there's still a character slot for Wonder Girl, either with the Cassie Sandmark version of the character. In other words, there's a later Wonder Girl to be had. Or they somehow are able to get Donna back into the fold, which I would be for. I think, again, I like this version of Donna Troy. It's very reminiscent of the version from the New Teen Titans in the 80s.
I was intrigued the Amazons let Rachel onto the plane.
Yeah, Rachel did seem to kind of invite herself along. And I'm trying to think if there was an aspect when Donna had to go back to Paradise Island to get treated by the Purple Rays or something like that, and Corey and Raven followed along or something, and there may be, but that would again been early 80s. But here in the context of all of this, here's a stranger basically bouncing up into the plane saying, yep, I'm coming with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And my expectation would they'd be in like, and who are you again? That made no sense to me. And again, we don't know who those ladies were. Presumably Amazons, but
yeah. So we've at this point, we've effectively got seven heroes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all seven of our alcoves filled, finally. And Crypto.
Well, I don't know that we fill the alcoves because they're still having the memorial one for Aqualad and now one or two others that way.
Well, that's true. So now we need two more alcoves.
I would like to know the floor plan of their floor on that tower.
Yeah, because we seem to have the training room across the open hallway from the Zen Garden.
It's almost like all of that is behind the elevator.
I was trying to decide if it was behind the elevator or down one floor.
I was thinking it's a square tower.
Mm-hmm.
The elevator exits out and you're on kind of one edge and you've got the common living area. I'm assuming around the other three sides on the outer side are the rooms for the people. On the inner part would be where you've got the training dojo, the alcove room, and I guess down one of the halls would be where the command center sort of thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I could never really figure out the layout of the place.
Yeah.
It's a nice design overall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would house a group of teenage superheroes in the middle of a skyscraper, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it only gets broken into about once every 6 episodes.
Well, it's on the 32nd floor, and I don't know how tall the building is, but it seemed like it was about halfway up.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering where those commandos came down from.
The roof.
Yeah.
The roof alarm went off. And I gotta give Crypto the dog credit for being able to ring a doorbell with his nose.
Crypto was well used, and I was wondering if he was sentient.
He comes across that way.
Yeah. Yeah. There were times it came across that he and Superboy were literally communicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, little more to be said there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unclear if this was really the Crypto. In other words, is this Superman's dog that's been lost and he doesn't know it, or what's going on there?
Yeah. And again, we don't know.
Some stuff that's just not told to us.
Yeah, we don't know if Ava's ever coming back. The doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was another one that just got dropped. I don't know that she even gracefully exited, but was just poof, gone.
She kind of exited with the, I can't be near you and I can't be near Cadmus.
Yeah, yeah. But that was very much a pivotal character until just summarily dismissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could tighten up the writing some and be a little more satisfying, but I think they're generally good writers. Mm-hmm. It's more the plotting and the pacing that bothers me.
Well, and that goes back to Hallucination Bruce Wayne cracked me up.
Oh, yeah. That was very fun. Some great stuff. And
I mean, that was a combination of the material and the actor. Just mm-hmm. knocking it out of the park and having a great time, to the point I was teasing you at the end of one of those episodes where I can see the actor having come to work one day saying, don't mind me, just act like I'm not here.
Yes, yes. Definitely some fun stuff with the character. And again, it would be interesting to see some of the other kind of mentor types.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, this is clearly a different world than the Arrowverse. But it would be fun to see some interplay between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it was fun. I think it was a good season. It was a little uneven, a little bouncing around, but not bad.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun. And I'm looking forward to a third season. I know they're getting one. I'm not sure when it will come out and how much of it will focus on Corey's kind of storyline and how much will be stuff that I'm, frankly, probably going to be more interested in.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm wondering if Rose / Jericho will go see Jericho's mom.
Has to.
It's something I want to see.
Yeah, yeah. I would be disappointed if they don't. And there'd be an awkwardness there because Rose might be a little upset of this is why, you know, she didn't get to be raised with her biological father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious where they're going to go with that. I think we have to see both moms. Rose's and Jericho's.
Yeah, so.
And I'm wondering if we're done with Wintergreen or if he kind of.
Somehow I don't think so.
I'd be surprised if we were.
I think Wintergreen's going to be a little pissed with where Slade ended up.
Now, in the comics, the way Slade gets involved with the Titans is he's picking up somebody else's contract.
Mm.
And that was his son Grant's. Grant basically encounters the Titans as a civilian, gets kind of, you know, upset with them, makes a deal with Hive to get kind of powers and such, which he can then use to fulfill a contract that they'd offered to Deathstroke, but Deathstroke had refused. And getting the powers is what kills Grant. All that happens in like the first or I think actually second issue of the series. And then Deathstroke takes over the contract, so they, and Hive knew that was going to happen, you know, and there's been no mention of any brother to Jericho.
Well, the other thing we dropped was kind of, why was Deathstroke out in some cabin when the Titans got back together at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
Out in the cabin, living rough.
It implied later that maybe that was Jericho's influence, but it, no idea. I think there's a lot of things, if we were to go back and rewatch, we'd have some serious questions of, well, wait a sec.
There are two theories. Either it implies Jericho was slightly in control or fighting for it at the moment, or they didn't have their much later episode in mind where it was, this was a 3-year plan.
Or he just needed to be out of the way as the plan was going into into play. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
The plan started with Slade fighting Rose. That's what got Rose into the Titan Tower.
Her infiltration started there. The plan started 3 years ago when he basically picked her up for the prom or whatever. Yeah, the timeline, and this is where I get annoyed when they have to bounce around in time to tell the story non-linearly to kind of hide some of these things. I think if you were to put the timeline together, it may not work quite as tightly as they think it does.
Yeah.
Maybe it does. I don't know. It's just, you've got to kind of reorder things in your mind to see, well, when did this happen relative to that?
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Again, it's fun. I'm glad they're doing it. By and large, I'm happy with it. There's a couple of things I wish they would do differently. But, you know, I've been enjoying what we've been getting.
I hope next season is more focused and tighter writing. That's because I'm enjoying it.
I hope so. I have skepticism on the next season, given the focus on Corey. I don't think they've developed the character well. I don't think they've given the actress a lot to work with. The whole what's going on with their powers was never really explained or set up. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And if they lean too heavily on that plot line, I'm not going to be happy. Flip side, this season they didn't lean particularly heavy on any plot line. They just kept bouncing between, well, the Judas contract plot line.
Yeah.
So it comes down, what's the main arc for the season? Trigon was that one. Judas contract was this one. I expect the Corey plot line to be involved, but not the core plot line for the season.
Makes sense.
But we'll see what happens. Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.